Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
Another thing I should mention too, before I go to callers, is that Orwell, George Orwell, in his book 1984, the character in the book, Winston, worked in a department where he altered history. He would get little snips out of newspapers, alter them, photocopy the new one, and then he put all the old stuff, all the old histories, down the memory hole where it was burned up. And that took time as he pasted these things together and photocopied and so on. Today, I can read something like that thing that happened on Channel 4 about the great weather scam hoax that was heavily attacked by the big foundation that set up to promote the global warming scam. And I read from the article that was put out that day. The following day, they changed the article, even got in different names in it, in fact. That's how fast they can alter things and put it down the memory hole today with the internet. The speed of light, basically. And they say seeing is worth believing, so that becomes your reality. That's all that's left. In the blink of an eye, that's how it's done.
That's the life we live in, folks, and you're looking for sanity in it. Are you looking for sanity? When 9/11 happened that night on the radio, I said, the hardest thing from now on, because I knew all the whole agenda was going to get rammed through, the hardest thing from now, under the guise of terrorism, of course, the hardest thing from now on will be to hold on to your sanity as we go through all of this. And it's going to be for the rest of your lives, as you're updated and reprogrammed to adapt into the next step and the next step, and so many different areas of your life, you see. It's all done by smart people, working for smart organizations and your smart little community. And you give them all their data on your smartphone, etc., etc. Smart. Smart's got double meaning too. It means if someone strikes you, it can hurt. Think about it, folks. All these folks are hurting you and you don't even know it. Think about it. Well, hope you're all surviving out there as we're plunging into the winter with the new terminology they keep coming out with, the solar vortexes and northern polar vortexes. And oh my goodness, it sounds all sci-fi, doesn't it, as north wind comes down from the North Pole and blasts us all with cold air, because apparently the North Pole's melting. And you know, which I would have thought it got warmer if that was like, but no, oh no, it's getting colder, you see. It's like O'Brien in Orwell's 1984. As he says to Winston, when Winston's really out on it, he's been tortured and drugged and everything else, and O'Brien, the torturer, says, if I tell you, Winston, I can fly, then I can fly, and you'll believe it. You see? That's where we are today. Don't use logic, whatever you do, because it doesn't come into the picture. You mean, in fact, logic was trained out of you at junior school. The teacher doesn't want your logic on things. They have agendas to put forth. It's called the curriculum. And you get the proper brainwashing to be approved and get that quality approval stamp as they pass you a little certificate. That means you're fit enough and dumb enough to work in their system. You see? It's interesting too that Brave New World, the author of it, taught George Orwell briefly for a while. And then Orwell came out with his book, 1984. So they had a comparison of the two books, but it wasn't just a comparison. It was of things which were definitely going to come. And in George Orwell's day, it had come to an extent with the communism, with the boot stamping on the face, human face forever. And then had gone through the same system in a German fashion through the Nazi Party. Both big experiments, very similar, in socialism, scientific socialism, as they call it. But he also knew that they did experiments which would go further than that. At the same time, we should remember too, and the reason we're into this tonight as well is because, as I say, this new chapter we're in, you're not getting any real news, have you noticed? You really aren't, are you? You're being kept out of the loop because they've weaned you off of your right to know things. Quite amazing, isn't it? So you had declarations from government after laws and things have passed, but you won't be really aware of it. And maybe not even concerned, because there's so much entertainment out there to follow, or what the stars are doing, or who's sleeping with whom. And the star-studied glitterati, as they call it. So anyway, in 1948, Orwell's book came out. And it was called 1984, The Reversal of 48. He had a title which was changed by The Last Man, basically. He wanted to call it The Last Man, but his publisher didn't like that. And it was self-explanatory in it, what happens to Winston in the book 1984, what he meant by The Last Man, and the comments of O'Brien, who's assigned to torture him, about him being, if you're the last man, you know. And he's some look at his face in the mirror after his teeth have all fallen out and all the rest of it. He's been shocked to death with terrible electric shocks and so on. The whole point was to destroy, completely destroy, your individuality. The individuality that separates you from the state, whatever the state happens to be called or the system is called, you and the state. Until you couldn't see yourself as apart from the state. In fact, eventually you'd burst into tears and be horrified if you thought this, you were barred from the state. Every thought that you had to be the state's thoughts and not your own. Own think was a crime and things like that. It's just fascinating to see what was to come to. But here you have 1933, and who taught a man who came out with 1948, and you also had Bertrand Russell churning his books out in the 40s too about the coming scientific socialistic system right through into the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah, you mentioned the Soviet system back then. Of course, destroying vocabulary, you know, the political correctness, yes, is another part of that. And as you say, like, if children, or even adults now, they're on their texting phones and stuff all day, every day, the language has been destroyed.
Yes, it's also called linguistic minimalism, as they keep removing words and expressive and adjectives and so on from normal vocabulary until you... That was the whole idea in 1984, written in, or published in 1948 by Blair, that was Orwell, where he said that, that in his idea of a future, they're sitting in their cafeteria at the workplace, and the guy says, "Oh, the new dictionary is coming out. Have you got a copy yet?" "No, I don't." "So what's the old one? Was this thick? The new one is this thick. It's much thinner, of course." And it says, when people don't have the vocabulary to express ideas and can't communicate ideas to each other, there can be no revolution or counter-revolution, you see. So that's where you're going today. It's working very well. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, 20 years down the line or something, but we're going to see adults walking about unable to even speak to each other at all.
Well, we already have that, in fact. If you listen to the jargon they have, they literally cannot express themselves. And it was quite funny, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I remember going to someone's house, and there was an ad that would come on, put out by the government, I think, to do with youngsters, and you see this guy about 16 bashing into the toilet, the washroom in the school, and starting kicking the walls and everything, and literally the guy couldn't express why he was even angry. Now, if you can't express anything, it's going to make you angry. And I thought, how ironical. I says, this is what they've been teaching them to be, and then they want to give them psychiatric treatment when they can't express themselves. Well, it's an impasse, basically. They've got what they want, and the people cannot express themselves. And again, don't forget that George Orwell, who knew this agenda was coming up, and he met in with the top characters, the Huxleys, and so he met them all, and he knew them well, and he knew the elite who planned this kind of future, members of the Milner Society, Royal Institute for International Affairs. He knew them. He knew the internationalists in Britain who were at the top of the tree, lords, etc., lords of this and lords of that, who were helping to finance the Russian Revolution. communism. And that's why he wrote 1984, with lots of the clues embedded in it. And that wars are not meant to be won, they're meant to be kept going and going and going. And that the system that will take all your rights away from you in warfare, like, and you've got Big Brother, you see, Big Brother, you have no rights, we can't allow you to have freedoms, you could be a spy, you might become a terrorist, etc., etc. Which we've all been told in mainstream media, as they quote our betters above us. And they've trained the public since 2001, and it was planned before it, but I'm talking about the taking away your rights was planned before it. Canada brought in the Omnibus Crime Bill, which is really an anti-terrorist bill, in 1998. And the reporters back then were astonished, genuinely astonished, and wrote about it and said, what is this? We're not at war with anybody. Well, 3 years later, we're not at war, no. You've got policing actions, like Orwell said, you know. So we have, it's all changes of terminology. We send peacekeepers out. We don't send soldiers out. We send peacekeepers out because we're not at war, right? This is all for the public's consumption, this terminology, really. Most of the propaganda you get is meant for domestic consumption. If they lose a domestic base, then they've lost any kind of war against anybody else. So they must give you the basic, simple propaganda that so-and-so's a bad man in charge of the evil empire, etc. And that's why they use the same terms over and over when they pick new targets. Why change the formulas when the last ones worked so well? But as I say, there's lots of the agencies out there deliberately pursuing this very path of causing the problems. Years ago, I said, I didn't trust politics. I naturally had come to the conclusion long before I'd read anything about other people who'd come to the same conclusions. Like I mentioned before, the Durants, for instance, Roald Durant. He eventually came to the conclusion, after following communism and all the rest of it, he said that people who go into politics want power, and people who want power could never be trusted, and so you could never have peace. So he gave up pretty well towards the end of his life. But he wasn't the only one who had done that, and you find that George Orwell gave you the same ideas in Animal Farm. But he also gave you, in 1984, the system of total control, where even your hopes of a helping hand were fake to get out of a hellish system of oppression. Because 1984 had lots of elements of the Soviet system at that time, with its mock trials, etc., where everyone confessed about everything you were told to confess about, you'd do it. And if you're tortured enough, you will. Just to hear the end of the torture. Of course you will. But he also showed you, they'd give you fake systems of, here's the truth, here's the truth, come here and get the truth. And Winston, the character in 1984, really thinks that he's being brought into an inner revolutionary group who are going to overthrow Big Brother in this totalitarian tyrannical system. And he was being set up by the very system that already ruled. I give talks on that too, how you can't trust anything out there. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And organizations have always put out fronts to draw people out, to use them often. And at the very least is to point them out. See, we told you these crazies are out there. That's always happened. That will always happen. Because 1984 was a textbook in how it's done, in a sense. And 1984 was about a system where all hope is pretty well gone. And here's a glimmer of light, and you think, wow, I'll grab a hold of that. And so you do. And again, sure enough, it was false. You're being led into a trap to suck you out, you see. Whenever you get emotional about something or angry, you better stop and ask you who's caused you to be emotionally angry about something and why. Because if your point of even existing in, say, a political type system is to run things logically and practically, then you can't allow the emotion to come in. when emotion starts to reign supreme, you have civil wars, and then you have, and someone's playing you, and then you have the revolutions that have been hell in the past for most people. You'll be judged electronically. It's already happening because of things you might say or even think, eh? Like the policeman said to that journalist, we're concerned about the way you're thinking, you know. This is where it's all going, folks. Punishment by even strata of technicians that are not elected into power by any of you and by the electronic systems that they all work for. And they seem to be the new censor police, aren't they? They just know what's right, you see, because their bosses tell them what's right. And as long as they can swagger around and feel important, they'll do what their bosses say. That means punishing all of you. And that's a sad, sad commentary about human beings, but it's very, very true. But we are going into an awful tyranny where you're told that up is down, left is right, etc. As Bertrand Russell said, given the children, I can train them to believe that snow is black. In other words, they can make you believe anything, and you better say it. You better say it, like Winston in 1984, or in George Orwell's book, you know. O'Brien's torturing him, and he says, if I say I can fly, Winston, he says, you'll believe it. You'll believe it. It isn't enough that you just say it, but you'll believe it, he says, you know. And this is where we're going. This is an old, old agenda, folks. But with technology and advance, the rapidity of advancement in research and development of technology, you're living in probably it'll be the most efficient concentration camp on the planet. The planet will be one, in fact. You'll find, too, that you see, the Soviet system was to use science. They couldn't ever get to that stage, but to use science and proper scientific indoctrination in a Pavlovian style, conditioned responses and all the rest of it, where they'd all feel guilty when they're told to feel guilty, even if they'd done nothing wrong. And if you were to say counter-revolutionary to anybody, they'd immediately go into almost a paroxysm in a fit and turn all kind of colours instilled in them. They're terrified of it. So language is very important. That's why they use language now. We're going to language police in North America and across Europe, where you're getting forbidden to say certain things. Same thing. It's all Orwellian. Well, Orwell saw this happening in his day, and so he saw a stage, at least for 1984, a stage where you would have the spy system, or everyone would get monitored, spied upon constantly, and as they got more and more authoritarian, they would demand that you turn up for, and I've mentioned this before, you will eventually have to turn up for your community meetings and community parades and community this and community that you will eventually, and if you're not there, you'll get a knock on the door and you'll get dragged out or fined or something. That will come in this system, that this part of the system that we're going through right now. There's no doubt about it. In Britain, the police are contacting people who've used words they're not supposed to use anymore, and they're getting warned about it. So they're giving you a warning now. Well, that's a threat, you see. Your government agencies are threatening people. So you're already under tyranny, obviously, and it's not going to stop there. Not going to stop there. Because, you see, your idea of freedoms are all delusions. Complete delusions. You really haven't had them. You really haven't. Because most of the things you do and say already, they were given to you to say and do. There's nothing out there. There's not a movement out there that doesn't have leaders supplied to you. Believe you me, that's why the system has never failed. It's never fallen apart. You can always read the letters that were exchanged between George Orwell, 1984, the book, and Aldous Huxley, who was Brave New World. And basically, Huxley thought that there are many, many more scientific techniques that could be used to sway the public and alter the public and train the public and even shape the public, including altering DNA and so on, and perfecting types of workers or worker bees for division of labor, different types, and using drugs on them and different other techniques too. Whereas Orwell, of course, he used 1984, he actually published in 1948, and I think it was called The Last Man. That's what he wanted it to be called, but his publisher changed it to 1984. It was published in 1948, or put out then. But Orwell's system, I've said it before, be an intermediary system to get to Brave New World. And we're going through both of them right now. You constantly read about, from, again, publications, scientific publications, on DNA alteration and different kinds of in vitro fertilization, the so-called taking out of defective or bad genes and replacing them with supposedly good ones, etc., etc. It's the dream of those who envisage power over the whole planet from long ago. It's a dream which they're working towards, because it goes right back again to eugenics. But so you learn through osmosis. So you're talking to people, as I say, they switch off, they don't want to hear you, and they think they know everything because the TV tells them so. They think they live in the best country in the world, and as Bertrand Russell said, they'll believe it because the government will keep telling them so. And they'll prattle all the, doesn't matter what country you, they'll keep prattling these same things off to you. It's all the same scientific technique, you see. Repetition actually does work. It's quite fantastic, isn't it? So, people really don't have minds of their own. They can be awfully pleasant people. You'll find them in all occupations and professions as well, pleasant people who can't think outside their own profession or box or that they're in, but still be very pleasant to you and to each other. They're cordial, you see. And so things just seem to flow along, even when it's really breaking down. It still flows along to an extent. We're so micromanaged, it's just unbelievable. But most folk, as I say, don't want to know. They've been totally conditioned. They're quite happy. They can go home at night to watch the sports or watch dramas and comedies and drink their beer or wine or whatever it happens to be and zonk out for the rest of the evening and party at the weekend and have sex and they think they're getting somewhere and then they go back to work from Monday to Friday and so on and so on. That's their life, and they think it's normal because everyone else is doing it too. But don't try and upset their little bubble if they don't, because you'll get signs. They'll give you signs they don't want it burst, and they will become vehement towards you at the threat of you even scratching their bubble and remain bursting it. They really don't care. Most folk don't care, folks. That's as simple as that. And they've done all the studies on these things too. Lots and lots, thousands of studies, ongoing, about situations in psychology, how people behave in this situation, that situation, all these situations, over and over and over again, ad nauseum. And most folk simply don't care, as long as nothing happens to them. And as long as they have their little bubble, their little circle they can walk around in, and their friends they can call, and their sock puppets they can chat with on the internet, and things like that, that's their fantasy. That's their fantasy. When you tell them that most of their friends don't exist, they're actually sock puppets by computers run by military and Pentagon and so on, it doesn't faze them either. It doesn't faze them at all. They don't care. And that's why many, many different levels that George Orwell said the proles don't count. He had so much in that book of his, 1984. The title he wanted to put out was called The Last Man, meaning the last sentient man that could think and question. But it was his publisher that wanted to put, call it 1984, because he was going to publish it in 1948. Just changed the numbers. But so many levels, Orwell was telling you things. So many different levels. But the proles don't count. Meaning that the proles never have political power. Don't ever fall for all the left-wing nonsense, because everyone who leads the left-wing and all the left-wing organisations are paid and put in by the big foundations, the biggest multi-billionaires and trillionaires in the world. That's who puts them in and runs them. So the pros don't count. They're powerless. It's all about power. And at the very top of the pyramid, money is power. Don't ever forget that. At the end of George Orwell's 1984, he asks O'Brien why they did this. Why, when they had everything, why they had to torture people and break people to make everyone accept slavery. And O'Brien told Winston, he said, power. It's impossible for an ordinary person to imagine or try to come close to imagining a total addiction to total power. It's something where the psychopath makes up for. It's like a gap in their brain has been filled by this need, the part that should have humanity and humanitarian feelings, which they don't have, is filled with this aberration, this lust for power, and where the end justifies the means, and by any means, to attain it.
From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.